In John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me." This was in response to something that Thomas had just said to him, "Lord, we know not whether you go, and how do we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way." This morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, we're going to talk about Jesus, the way. And we're going to answer the question, the way to what? Or the way to whom? And we're going to try to encourage us this morning to make sure that we are on that way. We need to be on that way that Jesus said He is the way to the Father. We need to be on that way. And I hope that our lesson this morning will encourage us to do that. Thank you for being with us. We always appreciate you tuning in to the Let the Bible Speak program. I also want to remind you that you can contact us. We appreciate any calls if you'll call us at 931-647-1324. If you would like a Bible study or a ride to the service, or if you'd like for me to come and have an in-home Bible study with you, I can meet with you in your home or anywhere that would be convenient for you. I would love to do that, where we can sit down and with an open mind and an open Bible talk about important spiritual things for our lives. We only want to speak the truth in love, and we can do that together. Call me, 931-647-1324. 931-647-1324. Or you can visit us online at wbcoc.org. wbcoc.org. We are currently studying through the book of Acts. We're about halfway through the book of Acts in our adult and young adult Bible program. Of course, we have Bible classes for all ages. But in the adult and young adult class, we're going through the book of Acts. And that is a great study about how to be a New Testament Christian, how to be a member of the New Testament church. What is the New Testament church, and how can I be a member of that today? The study of Acts is the great place to go for that. So there's still time to get in on that study. We meet for our Bible study on Sunday morning at 9:30. Again at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. on Sunday. And then Wednesday evening, our study of the book of Acts, 7 p.m. So come be with us. We'd love to have you. And give us a call if we can help you in those spiritual kinds of ways. Jesus said He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. No one. That means everyone has to go this way through Jesus Christ. And a lot of people don't like that exclusivity. They don't like the fact that there is just one way to God. In our culture today, it's all about pluralism. Any way, many gods, many ways, or no God at all, no way. Pluralism is very important, an important ideology today for many, but it's not right. Jesus said, "I am the way," just one, not many. "The truth and the life." No one. The first lesson we learn is that there is one singular way. No pluralism. The second thing that we learn is that Jesus said, No one comes unto the Father but by me. So number two, there are no exceptions. All have to go through Jesus Christ. And then number three, Jesus said, comes unto the Father by me, but by me. We have to come to the Father. Everyone needs to do that. If we're to be pleasing to God, we have to come to the Father. I think some people think that the Bible and religion and that type of thing is for people who want it. But if you don't want it, you don't have to have it, and you can still be okay and everything is fine in life. No, Jesus is for everyone. And the writer says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, without faith it is impossible to be well-pleasing unto him, that's God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek him. It's impossible to be well-pleasing to God unless we have faith and come to him. He that cometh to God must believe. We've got to come to God in obedience and in service to him. There's a lot of people today who think that life is great without God. I don't have to come to anybody. And so, back to John 14, Jesus said, no one comes unto the Father but by me. We have to come to God. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, if we're to be well-pleasing to God. And number two, we have to do that. We have to come to God through Jesus Christ. So this morning, and we'll look at a few points, and then, Lord willing, we'll wrap it up next on our next program next week. I want to look at Jesus, the way. We need to be coming to God, and Jesus is the one and only way. And we're going to look at the way to what or to whom. When the New Testament church began in the book of Acts and Christians began there on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, the Lord said he would build his church, Matthew 16, 18, that began on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. There's a few places in the book of Acts where Christians are called the way, capital W-A-Y. Different Bible versions will use a capital W to describe people. One example was that when Saul of Tarsus was persecuting Christians, Acts 9:2, Luke records that Paul asked of him letters to Damascus under the synagogues, that if he found any that were of the way, whether men or women, see, we're talking about people, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Christians were called the way, because they followed Jesus the way, John chapter 14 and verse 6. They were traveling the Christian road, the Christian life, the way to the Father. You find it again later in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 19 and verse 9, when Paul was preaching in Ephesus, Luke records, but when some were hardened and disobedient, speaking evil of the way before the multitude, he, Paul, departed from them and separated the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. These people were speaking evil of Christians. They were speaking evil of the way, and that still goes on today. Later in the chapter, Acts 19:23, and about that time there arose no small stir concerning the way. Later in Acts chapter 24 and verse 14, when Paul's on trial, he says, I confess unto thee that after the way, which they call a sect, so serve I God, the God of our fathers. Before Felix, Acts 24:22, but Felix, having a more exact knowledge concerning the way, deferred them. And so, New Testament Christians are called the way. They're following Jesus the way. So this morning, I want to answer the question, the way to what? We know that it's the way to whom. We know it's ultimately the way to the Father. But along the way to the Father and the way to God, Jesus provides a way to some things that we need greatly in our life. And I want to talk about three of them today. And then we'll talk about three of them next week. First of all, Jesus is the way to a better life. Not monetarily, not educationally, not where you can have a brand new house and a brand new car immediately, but a life that is spiritual in nature, in a right relationship with God, and a life that will help us in many areas that might involve physical kinds of things. When we follow the scripture, that helps us physically in other areas of our life. But ultimately, and most importantly, a better life in Christ. Back in John chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus said, I came that they may have life and may have it abundantly. Or literally, a life of abundance. Jesus wants us to have the better life. And let's talk a little bit about how he does that. First of all, he's the way to a better life by correcting our own misconceptions about the life that we have now. Much of people's lives revolves around material things. And in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, when somebody came to Jesus and wanted to divide the inheritance that they had gotten, presumably from maybe their parent passing away or something along those lines, Jesus said in Luke 12, 15, take heed and keep yourselves from all covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Life is not about things. And yet many people search for happiness in things. They're trying to find a happy and peaceful life in prosperity and pleasure and popularity. Solomon tried that back in the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon tried to find a happy life in just material kinds of things, and he said that it was just vanity. It did not ultimately bring about what he wanted. And people are still doing that thousands of years later. Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 10, he that loves silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loves abundance with increase. This also is vanity. When goods are increased, they are increased that eat them, and what advantage is there to the owner thereof, save the beholding of them with his eyes? Jesus offers more than just things. Life does not consist in the abundance of things. Our house, our cars, our toys, our computers, our cell phones. Jesus offers true happiness and peace within, where we are in a right relationship with God and we're content and we're happy and we're peaceful. And even if things come along that take physical things away, like robbery or a tornado or a hurricane or wildfires like we hear a lot about out in California, if physical things are taken away from us, our joy and our peace and our life is not taken away from us, because those things are on the inside. And that's what Jesus comes to give. In John chapter 14 and verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be fearful. Inward peace. Chapter 15 of John, verse 15. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. Look at the word full. A full, joyful life. So he does that by correcting our misconceptions about life. And he does that, number two, by identifying the real problems of life and a real solution. The problems of life are often caused by sin. And later we're going to see he provides a solution to that. He died on the cross for our sins, and we're to obey the gospel and be baptized for the remission of our sins. And we get rid of those problems that are really affecting us. A lot of times you'll see in society where government or someone will try to talk about the different problems that are going on in life, and they think that the solution to it is more taxpayers' money and more programs and better education and different things like that. The sin problem is going to be taken care of by obeying the gospel, not tax-funded programs. And when we hear about school shootings and mass shootings and just shootings of an individual, mass shootings are no worse than an individual. Life is life. And when we hear about those kinds of things and violence and other problems, we don't want to address it head on. That's a sin problem. Paul writes in Titus chapter 3 and verse 3, "For we," he includes himself, "we also once were foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love toward man appeared, not by works done in righteousness which we did ourselves, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration," there's your baptism, "and the renewing of the Holy Spirit," being renewed by obeying the words of the Holy Spirit. That's the solution to the problem. And Jesus comes to identify what that real problem is. What is the real cause of most unhappiness? Sin. And Jesus tells us about that. Number three, Jesus leads us to a better life. He's the way to a better life by teaching us to seek new goals for our life. To put God first, seek His kingdom and His righteousness. Matthew 6, 19 and 20. Put the kingdom first. Material possessions are all perishable. They're secondary in nature. Put God first. Paul writes in Colossians 3, 1, to set our minds on things that are above. In Philippians chapter 3, he pressed on toward the goal of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, the goal of heaven. Jesus teaches us to seek new goals, new priorities in life, and that makes for a better life. And Jesus gives us what we do not expect. He will give us daily provision. He'll provide for our food, shelter, and clothing in Matthew chapter 6, 31 through 33. He'll provide for those things. He'll give us joy. We already read John 15, 11. He'll give us all of the things that we need. We have the promise of the life that now is and that which is to come, heaven. So He's going to give us what we need. And then some that we might not even be expecting. And so He shows us the way to a better life. In Luke chapter 18, and verse 28, Peter said to Jesus, "Lo, we have left our own and followed thee." And he said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or wife or brethren or parents or children for the kingdom's sake, who shall not receive manyfold more in this time and in the world to come eternal life." We're going to receive manifold more in this time, the life now, and in the world to come, eternal life of heaven. And so number one, Jesus shows us the way to a better life. Don't you want that, friend? Number two, Jesus shows us the way to forgiveness of sins. We discussed earlier about the sin problem. Jesus didn't come just simply to point it out. He did that. But to provide the solution for it and the way out of that. What good is it to point out that someone is in a problem without pointing out the way out of that problem? So let's talk about sin for a little bit and how Jesus is the way to forgiveness out of that sin. First of all, Jesus tells us what sin is. The world often has a wrong definition of sin. Do you know what sin is, friends? What is sin? That's often used word. Sin is, first of all, a violation of God's law. 1 John 3 and verse 4. All unrighteousness is sin. It's a transgression of God's law. When we violate God's law, that is sin. Number two, when we fail to do what is good. James chapter 4 and verse 17. To him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. And number three, sin can be when we violate our conscience. When we act without a good, clean conscience, what Paul calls faith in Romans 14 and verse 23, we sin. When we do not act according to faith, we sin. In that context, faith is our conscience, acting on good conscience. We go against our conscience. So sin is a violation of God's law, missing the mark, literally. The Greek word hamartia, meaning to miss the mark being God's law, failing to do what is good and a violation of our conscience. And it will separate. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, when we sin, God cannot have fellowship with us. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6, 23. Not that when we sin, we immediately die physically, but death is separation. We're separated from God. It's not something that you physically see with the eyes, but it is a separation nonetheless. Because God is holy. He is a holy God. Psalm 5, 4 through 6. He's a just and fair God. He must punish sin. There are many accounts in the Bible that show that God is just and fair and holy, and he doesn't just let people sin with impunity. Nadab and Abihu were struck dead, Leviticus 10, 1 through 3, for offering up strange fire which God had not commanded them. Moses is not allowed to go into the land of Canaan because he struck the rock when he was told to speak to it, Numbers chapter 20. And we could go on and on and on. We serve a holy and just and righteous God. And so he cannot just simply overlook our sin. And all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3, 23. And just one sin condemns us, James 2 and verse 10. If we transgress, if we break a law, we are a lawbreaker. And that is enough with God to put us in jeopardy. And so we need to be thinking about Jesus, the way to forgiveness from these sins. And he did it by doing two things. By sacrificing himself for us. The New Testament calls his sacrifice on the cross a propitiation. That's an older English word that means to appease God's wrath. Romans 3, 9. 1 John 2, verse 2. 1 John 4, verse 10. He's our propitiation. His blood, God sees his blood on the cross, and that appeases the wrath for sin. That death on the cross satisfies God's justice, that sin can be punished. I'll let my son be punished. But in order to benefit from that sacrifice, the second thing Jesus did was, he teaches us how to benefit from that propitiation. And that is in the gospel. He sent out his apostles into all the world, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, Mark 16, 15 and 16. And he said, he that believeth, go preach the gospel. He that believeth, that is, believes the gospel, and is baptized, shall be saved. And so, in order to benefit from the blood shed on the cross as a propitiation for our sins, we have to be baptized into Christ and wash away our sins. So he sacrifices himself, and that appeases God. Number two, he teaches us how to benefit. We have to confess that he is the Christ, Romans 10, 9 and 10. We have to repent of our sins and be baptized, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. We have to continue living faithfully thereafter. If we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. We can come to God in prayer asking for forgiveness. We repent, he will forgive us. 1 John 1, 7 through chapter 2, verse 2. So, friends, you've got to get out of that sin. I've got to get out of that sin, and Jesus is the way out. He is the way to forgiveness. And then last of all, when we do that, we can come back to God. Sin is removed. That separation between us and God has been removed. And number three, Jesus is the way to God. In fact, that's his point in John 14 and verse 6. No one comes to the Father but by me. Ultimately, we're trying to get back to God, to be in fellowship with God. And Jesus did that by doing two things in relationship to God. First of all, Jesus is the way to God by helping us to comprehend who God is. Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus is deity. John 1, verse 1, verse 2. And he, that word, which was God, that word became flesh, verse 14. And Jesus declares God, John 1, 18. He shows us who God is. He is God in the flesh, Colossians 2, 9. He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He's the very image and effulgence of God, Hebrews 1, 1 through 3. He is deity in the flesh. And so when Jesus was here, he showed us God. He is God with us. You remember in Matthew chapter 1 when the angel announces to Joseph and Mary about they would have a child. He's described as Emmanuel, meaning God with us. So first of all, Jesus shows us the way to God the Father by being God the Son in the flesh, showing us what deity is like. And then by helping us to approach God, first of all, with sin removed, we just talked about that earlier, and then by being there for us each and every day. He is our high priest, and we can come to the throne of his grace and receive help in time of need. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. He is the mediator between God and man. He is there to bring us to God. And friends, what a great thought that is. So, this morning, what have we seen? Jesus is the way. Friend, you need to be on that way before it's too late. Help. We want to help you to get on that way. Can we do that? Let's get together and study how that we can do that. He is the way to a better life. Don't you want that? We see the life of misery around many of us. Did you know that the statistics on suicide are up? They're very high. Do you know that the use of drugs, illegal drugs and marijuana and things like that are on the rise? They're up. That's very common. People are trying to find their way through life with everything but Jesus Christ. We need to come to him. He will give us truly the better life. It's not found in these other things. He's the way to forgiveness. And number three, he's the way to God. Call us. Call us. 931-647-1324. Let's get together and learn how that we can have that way to God through Jesus Christ. We're so glad that you joined us this morning. I wait to hear from you, and we hope that you have a good day, and I would encourage you to tune in next Saturday as we complete this lesson. Thank you very much.